talking about the other day, that we had the statement of Rabbi Gamliel of Kol Shelo Omer Shlosha Dvarim Elu BePesach Lo Yatzei Idei Chovaso. So if you don't talk about the Tamei HaMitzvos of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, you are not Yotzei your obligation. We had a machlokas Rishonim what that obligation was. Was it the obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like the Rambam, or the obligation of the actual Achilas Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, like the Vudram? So that was one issue. And then we said, well, what does it even mean that you're not Yotzei? Right? Does it mean that you're not Yotzei the way Rabban Gamliel wants you to? But of course you're Yotzei min HaTorah. These are mitzvahs daraisa we're talking about. And nowadays, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is still daraisa, even though the mitzvah of Achilas Maror is only midirabbanan bizmaneinu, because Maror was never an independent mitzvah. It was always a condiment, if you will, or an accoutrement to the Achilas HaPesach. Right, so there was no separate sivui to eat maror, mashenkin matzah. There's a separate sivui of be'erev tochlu matzos, and that's even independently doraisa bizmanenu, whereas maror bizmanenu is midirabbanan. So, but in the times of the Karban Pesach, the achilas ha-pesach with matzah and maror was all doraisa, and Rabbi Gamliel is coming along and saying, you weren't yotzei, because you didn't talk about the tamei ha-mitzvos of these things. So that's a very questionable statement. The Rabbanan have the right to come along and say, you're not Yotzei, the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach Matzah Maror, you're not Yotzei, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I spent 3, 4, 5 hours at the Seder, and we were talking all about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Nisim, and the Niflos, and the Akaras HaTov, and everything that all the themes we were supposed to hit. And we didn't talk about the Tamei HaMitzvos. We didn't talk about why do we eat Karban Pesach, why do we eat Matzah, why do we eat Maror. So we missed out on those details. So you're going to tell me you're not Yotzei on a level of Daraisa? Very, very hard to accept. And yet, we find that when it comes to the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, that there is a machlokas rishonim. What does it mean when it says that base shamai holds you're not Yotzei? Right, so we had the case, right? I set it up perfectly, just like last time. Misha yerosho verubo besukkah v'shulchan betocha bayis. Right, so if this drop ceiling here is the schach, and this is the inside of the house, or it's a regular roof. So I'm in the sukkah right now, I'm underneath the schach, but my table is inside the house. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim that Beis Shammai said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoronis, Im keino yisa noeg, lo kiyamta mitzvas sukkah miyamecha. If this is how you acted, if you sat with your table inside the sukkah, you never were yotzi the mitzvah sukkah in your life. And question really becomes, what does that mean you're not Yotzei? I'm in the sukkah. I ate in the sukkah. You can't tell me that I was outside just because my table was outside and people have the tendency to lean over the table. It's not so. So I was in. So how can you tell me I wasn't Yotzei? And yet, Tosfos on Daf Gimel in sukkah suggests that you're actually not Yotzei the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah if based on the gzeira of Beis Shammai, lest you come to lean outside the sukkah. So this is the shita of Tosfos, and we suggested, based on the lashon of the Rambam, that the Rambam agrees, because the Rambam adds in one clause which didn't need to be there. If you look on the left-hand column, the Rambam is the second-to-last source on the left. Misha yerosho verubo v'sukkah v'shulchano betocha beso o chutz l'sukkah v'ochal hareze aser. This is forbidden. Could have just stopped right there. Could have stopped right there and skipped to Gzeira Shemi Mashiach Achar Shulchano. Right? It's a Gzeira. It's usher to do this as a Gzeira, lest you come to lean over the table and you'll end up eating outside the sukkah. So that's a perfectly good piece in the Rambam. And yet, before we got to the Gzeira part, he added the sentence, Uki'ilu lo'acha b'sukkah. And it's as if he didn't eat in the sukkah, ad shiyeh shulchan betocha sukkah. So it sounds very much from the Rambam that he holds that this is a din midoraisa. So that you're not yotzei min haTorah, like the shita of Tosfos. Okay, so how does this make any sense? So we suggested that this is a fundamental machlokes between, just to quote the other side, we had the Ran. The Ran is in Psachim on the comment of Rabban Gamliel. So he says that, what does it Rabban Gamliel mean when he says, Lo Yotzei Dei Chovaso, you're not Yotzei, your obligation let's say, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim or Pesach Matzah and Maror, you're not yotze your obligation. So what does that mean? So we say, Kolomar lo yotze de chovaso karaui. You're not yotze properly. You didn't do it the way Rabbi Gamliel wants you to do it. But to say that, Avalo yotze de chovaso klal lo kalmar. He's not saying you're not yotze at all. And then he says, and just like that other case in Mesechus Sukkah, where it says you're not yotze, so it doesn't mean you're not yotze. It means you're not yotze the way Beis Shammai wants you to be yotze. But of course you're yotze minat Torah. So we suggested that this is the fundamental machlokes that is attributed to this comment in the Nesivos. Right? The Nesivos has the case, if you remember, that a person who accidentally purchases a non-kosher meat, does the seller have to reimburse him for the cost of the meat after he eats it? So the Shulchan Aruch differentiates. It says, if it's treif midoraisa, so then the guy has to pay him back the money even though he ate the meat. So he bought $50 worth of meat and he ate it, the guy has to give him back $50. If it's only treif midorabanan, then he doesn't have to reimburse him anything. And he says, why is that? So Sivas explains that a person who eats non-kosher meat midoraisa, he did something which was inherently wrong. He ate food that was, I don't want to say bad for him, it was poisonous, it was something spiritually negative in the food. And therefore, the fact that he ate it requires that now he has to go through some kind of kapara or yisurin or something, some process that he did in aver b'shogi, similar to, I guess you could say, a person who violates an Isser Kares B'Shogeg, so he has to bring a Karban Chatas. Ah, he didn't mean it. So what? It's like you accidentally fell into a mud puddle. So the fact that you didn't mean to fall doesn't make you any less dirty. So you have to clean yourself up. You have to do something to take care of it. Masha'en Kain, if it was an Isser Derabbanan, then you don't have any Yisurin, you don't have any Kapara that's necessary, and therefore the fellow doesn't have to reimburse you because he sold you meat that obviously midrabana you're not allowed to eat, but midaraisa you were allowed to eat it, and therefore the fact that you didn't purposefully violate the Isser Daraisa, that's good enough. And you don't need any kapara. So the way the standard yeshivisha explanation for this nesivus is that the nesivus holds that isurim deoraisa are what we would call an Isser Chefza. That is something, there's actually something wrong with the food itself. And therefore, when you unwittingly consume this food, you did something that was bad for you. You didn't know it was bad for you, so we're not angry at you, but something happened that needs some sort of fixing. Mash'en kein, isurim derabanan, are not an isur chefza, because who can aser a chefza? Only the creator of that in that object. What can the Rabbanan do? They can tell the Gavra, they can tell the individual what he may or may not do. Do the Rabbanan claim that by telling the individual, don't do that, that there becomes something wrong with doing that? No. There's nothing wrong with doing it. It's just that we don't want you to do it. We're afraid of what it might lead to. Maybe we don't like the actual... I remember years ago, when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein spoke here, he actually suggested that not all gzeiros midrabbanan are things that the Rabbanan thought might lead to something else. He said sometimes there's a gzeiros midrabbanan that the Rabbanan just thought that was an inappropriate behavior to engage in. What? Right. What? No, he's saying that something, it resembled an Isser Daraisa, not that necessarily that we said if you do the Isser Darabanan, you're going to do the Isser Daraisa, but because it resembles the Isser Daraisa, we don't find that particular activity to be appropriate either. Okay, so that was, the bottom line is, they can't create an Isser in the Chafza. They can only create an instructions on the Gavra. So if the Gavra violates it, B'shogeg, he didn't do anything wrong. Okay. So I want to just show you how I think this machlokas actually plays out. Now, how does it play out in the Rishonim that we've seen? So the Ran seems to be in lockstep with the Nesivos. The Ran is saying that when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Achilas Pesach Matzah Maror, or Yeshiva B'Sukkah, the Rabbanan can't do anything to you to take that mitzvah away from you. You did the mitzvah. So the Rabbanan's power sort of ends with a tzivui on the Gavra. So they wanted you to do something. You didn't do it. So you won't get Rabbanan points for doing what Rabban Gamliel wanted you to do, for doing what Beis Shammai did, you know, for avoiding what Beis Shammai didn't want you to do. But you got your Doraisa points. You accomplished the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah. And therefore, the Rabbanan can't stop you from fulfilling the mitzvah under those circumstances. Mashenkin, Mashenkin, according to the Rambam and Tosfos, the Rabbanan actually have the koach to take away your Kiyama mitzvah on a Doraisa level. And that has very, very far-reaching ramifications. That, let's say it's the first night of Sukkot, the Rambam says specifically, it's Ki'ilu you did not eat in the Sukkah at all. And therefore, if it's the first night of Sukkot, and you had a situation where your table was outside the Sukkah, and you finished eating in the Sukkah, now you got to go back out to the Sukkah and eat again. Yeah, probably. Well, the Rambam would say, yeah. But, so you weren't Yotzei, the Mitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah.
Is there a reason to suggest, like, at least according to the Bidraham, that is it the Raisa thing, that in the...
Yes.
The Lo Yazid
Echolazah? Yes.
Yeah, right.
I think so. I think it's easier.
Right.
Okay, so some other cases where this plays out and where it doesn't play out. So I gave you the Beis Yosef over here because he just gives you both shitos. So he quotes the Ran in Maseches Yuma on Daf Aleph Amid Aleph in the Dapei Arif. Now, it's not actually at the beginning of the Masechta. In the way the Rif works in Maseches Yuma is he doesn't say anything until the last perek, because the first seven prakim are all about Kodshim, about the Avoda on Yom Kippur, and then the eighth perek is about fasting on Yom Kippur. So he, or the Chamesh Sinuyim on Yom Kippur. So therefore, there's no riff
eating, drinking
up until, right, exactly. Very good, very good. So he doesn't say anything until you get to the eighth parak. So that's what it's, when you see it's quoting the Daf Aleph Amid Aleph and the Dapei Arif, so he says that, oh, you didn't catch that? Oh, it's old school. When they want to tell you what the five Inuyim are, they don't want to include Tashmish Shamita, so they just say Achiyua, Shesia.
Why the number five?
Because there are five.
No, because they don't want to mislead you into thinking there are fewer than five Inuyim.
Because
you remember the number better than you remember what the five things are.
You don't remember year to year what they are, but you remember that, oh, there are five, and then eventually you learn.
Right.
Because it would have given Berger another reason to rail against elementary school.
Yes.
Okay. So here, take a look. He quotes in the Beis Yosef that the Ran and the Rashba both say that the Afal Pi. So you're basically Shekol Shu Litzorcho Shel Tinok Afal Pi Sheigia Lachinuch Machilano So Iser Derabbanan Afilu Biyadayim. Anything you need for a katan, you can give him an iser derabanan. And he says, that's the shita of the Ran, that you can give a tinok to eat an iser from an iser derabanan. Right? However, he quotes Tshuva Zarajba, he says, Tshuva Zarajba says the same thing. Umiyu kasa v'tshuva shelo amar kein ela lahalacha avalo lamaisa. He says, all right, you shouldn't do it, but lahalacha, it's mutter. You can give a tinok to eat an iser derabanan. Right, that was the Yiddish way to say it. You can give a tinok and isidur abanan to eat. Right? Okay. So the Harambam, the Sof Macholos Asuras Kasov, de laha'achilo biyadayim osur. You're not allowed to give him an isidur abanan biyadayim. Right? Afilu dvaram shasur midivrei sofrim. Even something which is only isidur abanan. V'chein osur lahargilo b'chilu shabbos umoed v'afilu bedvaram shein mishum shvus. So too, you can't let him get used to doing an Isser, a Chil Shabbos, even an Isser Derabban. So, I'm not saying... What? It means that you're actually giving it to him, as opposed to just leave it on the table, whatever happens, happens. So what is perhaps the source of this Machlokas? I'm not saying this is the way you have to learn this Machlokas, but perhaps one way to understand the Machlokes is the Ran and the Rambam are arguing about the same issue. What is the status of food that is treif midrabanan? We saw in the Nesivos that treif midrabanan, there's nothing wrong with it. We don't view the food as having something wrong with it. No, so for a katan who needs it, he's only chayav midrabanan. And if he's, let's say this, he needs the food, so like, you can even give it to him. Yeah.
Oh,
you can even he's not going to die. Okay. He needs the food. So you can even give it to him biyadayim, because essentially he's only chayav in mitzvahs midrabanan, and there's nothing really wrong with the food, so you can give it to him. The Rambam says no, you can't give it to him biyadayim. You have to, you know, leave it on the table and whatever happens happens, or whatever the case may be, or find some other kosher alternative, because the Rambam views the issur derabanan as actually being an issur chafza. He views there being something inherently wrong with the food. And thus, there is something inherently wrong with the child eating the food, even though the kid is not yet chayav in mitzvos. Because you're giving him, right, we have this concept in the Ramah, the quotes in Shulchan Aruch, about your metamte mislibo. There's some type of negative spiritual effect that will happen to a person who eats non-kosher. So in that regard, that the Rambam applies it to eat non-kosher midrabanan, whereas the Ran, l'shitaso, says there's nothing. There's nothing inherently wrong with non-kosher midrabanan. You can eat it. It's not going to affect you in any way.
So the Chil Shabbos here is also for his health or whatever?
Chil Shabbos, you could suggest as well. The Rambam has a shita that when the Rabbanan said, and now there's further room to be machalik within the Rambam between what we call perhaps a gzeira midrabanan versus a malacha midrabanan. So not every, not all Isurim derabanan and Chil Shabbos were created equal. But there is room to suggest that as well. Now, this one I thought you might be familiar with. I thought you might think it was cute. A further application of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran is in Maseches Ksuvos. You guys remember the Avela Sugya? We all learned Ksuvos last year?
Yeah.
Right, so you have the whole statement over there. Shayapito afoy v'tov chotovu achyeno mazugu meis aviv shel chasano ima shel kala. Right, so we have this whole super weird Avelus where there was actually a real-life example of this?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Uboel bilas mitzvah poresh, right? So, noeg shivas yimei mishta. So, first you have the Sheva brachos. V'achar kach noeg shivas yimei avelus. And then they sit Shiva after it's all said and done. Now, the Ran comes through with a kasha. He says, wait a minute. What about the shitas hageonim? The shitas hageonim is that Avelus Yom Rishon is the Oraisa. Avelus Yom Rishon is the Oraisa. And it doesn't make sense that we should allow the Chasan and the Kala to keep Sheva Brachos on the first day, meaning the wedding day itself is the day of their first Sheva Brachos. They should be Chayiv and Avelus Min HaTorah at that point. And therefore, they shouldn't be allowed to observe the first day of Sheva Brachos. They should have to observe Avelus Daraisa at that point. And then the Sheva Brachos Midrabanan would push off the Yisra Avelus Darabanan for the remaining 6 days. Wouldn't that be the likely way to understand the Sugya? But the Gemara doesn't say that. So he says, isn't this a Raya? And some Rishonim say, this is a Raya against the Shita Zaga Onim, that Avelus Yom Rishon is not Daraisa. Because otherwise, how could we allow this? So the Ran doesn't say that. Says v'kevan shegain hechi asya simchas yimei amishte she'eno ela derabanan v'dachi avelus deraisa. So he says lav kushya he. That's not really a kasha. Why not? Debased in masdin lakor davar min haTorah b'shev al tasa. He says because this is an example of akiras davar min haTorah.
And you're doing things that are asur then, no?
Yeah, so he's saying the din is to observe, not the halacha is you're supposed to, yes, observe Avelus, right? You're supposed to, yes, observe Avelus, and we're telling you, don't observe Avelus.
But every time you do an action that is counter Avelus.
Oh, so right? Look at the next words in the Ran. Ulefizeh, but if you say that, Eino roilis asik midvarim shel simcha, kol oso ayom. So it's going to be a very boring wedding party. There's no dancing. There's no music. There's no. You just don't sit on the floor. Don't tear kriya or whatever. Don't not shower. I'm not sure. But what? Well, that was before. That was before the that we said that the that was before you bury the body, right? So So you can't actively, because that would be considered violating the din b'kum va'aseh, right? Elishenu chayev lasos ma'isa shel avelus v'hainu shev al tasa. So to be b'shev al tasa, that would be not observing avelus. But you're not allowed to, yes, observe the simcha. The Rambam, who we, well, the first halacha, Aleph, and Hilchos Avil.
This is actually what happens then?
What?
The Ron says that this is what
the Ron says you can't, there's a major limitation. If you hold like the Gaonim, you wouldn't be allowed to have a positive party experience. It would have to be a passive party, right? So the Rambam, we'll skip it inside. I think there's going to be a push for a 10 o'clock Marv, so we'll have to skip it inside for now. But the Rambam does paskin like the Gaonim. He holds that the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura, which if the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura is all on the same day, that day of Avelus is min HaTorah. But look at the next line in the Rambam. We have the case in Hilchos Avel regarding the Chasan and the Kala. Heichin kol tzorche ha-su'uda va'afa pita v'tavcho tavach kidei shikanes ha-simcha. Let me see if I can find it. He gives you the detail of Nasan Mayam Agave Basar, etc. And then Bol Bilas Mitzvah Uporish V'Noig Shivas Shimei Mishteva Achar Kach Noig Shivas Shimei Avelus V'Chol Osan Ayamim Noig B'Dvarim Shel Betzina Keshabbos. He says Dvarim Shel Tzina you keep, right? That you remember that from the Hemshach of the Gemara. L'Fichach Hu Yoshin Bein Hanashim V'Yishe Yishin Bein Hanashim Kedei Shelo Yishamish Mitas. So here we have the Rambam who does hold like the Gaonim, and yet makes no mention of this Sheval Tasa business. He just quotes the Gemara as is. Says we observe regular wedding festivities and regular Sheva Brachos festivities. Dvarim Shevet Sina, we do keep. Fine. But we don't observe any kind of we don't put a damper on the Simcha in any way. So how is this so? Exactly, meaning when there's a din of Akira's Davar Min HaTorah, they actually did it. It's not just that the Ran says what? Akira's Davar Min HaTorah b'shev al tasa means the mitzvah is still there. The Rabbanan don't have the koach to touch that mitzvah. They can't do anything about it. But they can tell you, don't do the mitzvah. But you can't actively violate the mitzvah either because it's still there. Mashenkin, the Rambam, who says, no, you actually can violate the mitzvah actively because when the Rabbanan are oker davar min haTorah, they're actually ripping out the chetzah shel mitzvah. It doesn't exist.
When the Gemara says that the Rabbanan are allowed to be ma'akir davar b'shev al tasa, how does that work?
What do you mean?
Going to the Rambam, you're allowed to do it even if it's not b'shev al tasa.
No, it works.
But they just
that it's not there, but they were not willing to tell people to actively violate Averos.
Yes, they were.
It's not an Avera, meaning the concept of Avelos is an obligation that's placed upon you. So just don't do the obligation. That is, if you don't observe Avelos and you just go about your life, so the Rambam doesn't view that as violating any kind of an Isser. No, you're getting into a very interesting area. There's a comment of the Kovitz Shurim about the difference between, is it a difference between aseh versus los aseh versus sheval tasa kum vaseh, right? In other words, he talks about, forget it, I don't want to get sidetracked into that, but it's in Bava Basra on Daf Ches, there's a comment there in the Kovitz Shurim which discusses this chiluk. But the, what?
It sounds like a yeshiva charade.
No, it's a very important piece in the Kovitz Shurim. I thought you were just like dismissing it as like stuff people say. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's not like it's kedai. It has far-reaching effects throughout Shas. But anyway, just what comes from this, and also just I'll throw in because you were here when we did brachos, right? So the opening piece in the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? The opening piece in Rabbeinu Yonah in brachos when they were discussing so. Let's say the Shitas Chachamim is that you can't say Kriya Shema Pes Chatzos, Kedil Harchik Es Adam and Aveira. So, what would the Chachamim say if you Bedafka waited Pes Chatzos? What do you do now?
Bedafka?
Yeah, Bedafka. You waited Pes Chatzos. Rabbi Gamliel says, okay, so you're a bad boy, but you can still do it. Right? So, you, the Chachamim, what do they hold? What did they accomplish, right? So Maha Ilu Chachamim Bitakanasam, if they made a takana, you're supposed to say Kriya Shema before Chatzos, and you didn't. You said it. So what's the din? So the first Rabbeinu Yonah quotes a Yesh Mefarshim, Tamina Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, who says, you still could say Kriya Shema because it didn't do Raisa, but you can't say Birchas Kriya Shema because the Rabbanim put a knas on you that Hey Mamre Ve Hey Mamre, they're the ones who invented Birchas Kriya Shema, and they can tell you that you can't say the Brachos. Rabbeinu Yonah himself says, no Kriya Shema for you. Says,
you can't say it?
Oh, so what do you mean you can't say it? It's words of Torah. Of course you can say it. What isser are you violating?
You don't get the mitzvah.
So you see, Rabbeinu Yonah's whole premise is along the same lines as Tosos and the Rambam. That you can say Kriya Shema, it just won't count for anything. The Rabbanan were Oker Doverman, and he says the Lashon is Zakira's Doverman at Torah for the protection of the mitzvah itself. In other words, if we tell you right now, just go ahead and say Kriya Shema. So it's not going to make any kind of a roshem, and there will not be any protection of Kriya Shema in the future. So they had to take drastic measures, and they were Oker Dove Men HaTorah and said, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema now. And if you say Kriya Shema now, it won't count for anything. But it chaps a huge nafkamina in cases of lulav on Shabbos. Right? So let's say the first day of Yantif falls out on Shabbos, and there's an Issa Darabana to take lulav. So if I... Listen... I have an Erev in my community. It's only a Rosh Hashanah and a Rabbana, and I'm good to go. I'm taking my lulav. You know, I'll do it in the confines of my own home. I'm blowing shofar first day. I'm not messing around with the, you know, the rabbis are nice, but I like my doraisa. You know? So I just decide I'm going to blow shofar. I'm going to take lulav. Did I do anything? So the Ran, Lechora, the Rashba, they'd say, yeah, you did something. You did a mitzvah doraisa. Now we're not happy with you. You shouldn't have done that. But we can't stop you. Saying we can tell you don't do it. But if you got away with it, you got away with it. You were yotzi mitzvah d'oraisa. The Eish Yomim and the Rabbeinu Yonah say we can't stop you from saying Kriya Shema. It's Pesukim and Chumash. So if you said them, you're yotzi. But we don't want you to do it.
Isn't the language of Gemara lacquer d'vermin Torah?
Yeah.
B'shevel pasuk, right?
I understand the question, but in the end of the day, it seems clear from these deos that this is what they hold. So, it's quite probable that the Rambam would say, you're not even Yotze Tekiya Shofar if you blow Shofar on Shabbos. You're not Yotze Lulav and Esrog if you took it on Shabbos. You didn't accomplish anything. Not only did you do the wrong thing and violate the words of the Chacham, you didn't even accomplish anything.
It's kind of different because like their whole backing is to prevent you from doing it to Oraisa. So it's not like they're just rabbis saying you can't do this. You're saying we're rabbis and we're going to prevent other people from violating the Doraisa. It's kind of like they have the strength of a Doraisa when they're...
I don't think so. I don't think so. Every Gzera Durabanan is to protect the Doraisa. Otherwise, it's Gzera on Gzera. Except when it is Gzera on Gzera. But it's hard to know. Tosfos in Chulin just says, like, yeah, sometimes it is Gzera on Gzera and you can't really... He's like, I haven't really deciphered a pattern. He says, essentially, like, when the Gemara says it's Xera on Xera and it's allowed, then it's allowed, but when not. Like, he's like, I hasn't really been able to decipher a pattern. But every Xera is to protect the Doraisa, but at the end of the day, what koch does it have? So according to according to Tosfos and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah, they have the koch Doraisa. Now, according to the Ran and the Rashba, they don't have a koch on a Doraisa level. Ritva would agree with that as well. I mentioned that in passing, but the... Okay, let me just find out what the story is with Mar.